already knows what the solutions are. He's got it all mapped out. No matter what kind of grief, pain, or heartache you and I are experiencing, God always offers a new beginning, a change of heart, or a powerful turnaround. You know, it's just never too late and you're never too far for a comeback. Now, I've talked to people during this situation that they're just saying, Pastor, I don't know if I'm ever going to come back from the situation. I don't know if I've got the finances. I don't know if I've got this, that. My job's in jeopardy and my family. And I could speak to you this morning that God always has a new beginning. God always has a turnaround. God always has a comeback. And today we're going to talk about that as we move through this series called The Comeback. And today God is just going to rescue all of us. You know, it brings us to the example I used a few weeks ago when Jesus Christ, and we just celebrated the Easter season, and Jesus is on the cross, and there's these thieves on his left and on his right, and one was cursing Jesus and mocking him, and the other one looks at him and he says, "Just remember me." See, that person did something huge. That person accepted the circumstances of where they're at. You know, that's exactly what we're all faced with. We've got to accept these circumstances that we're in right now. We have no choice. We may have had nothing to do with putting us there, but we can have everything to do with comeback and getting us out. And the thief on the cross next to Jesus, he understood that, and he accepted that situation. He knew he had to be there. The Bible speaks it in 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. It reads like this: "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will in Christ Jesus for you and I." See, that thief was there in that situation, and he had no choice. He accepted it. And you and I right now are in this situation, and we have no choice but to accept it. And there could be somebody watching right now that has been inflicted with this COVID-19 situation, both maybe physically or had family or friends afflicted. You have to accept the circumstance, but God's got a plan. You know, that thief on the cross made those huge comments, and the huge comment was, "Just remember me." And it, he asked to be remembered, and, you know, I gave the story of Noah in Genesis 8:1, it reads, it says, "And God remembered Noah and all those wild animals and livestock out on the ark in the middle of the water. And he sent the wind over the earth, and the waters receded." I'm going to tell you right now, God right now is sending a wind throughout the earth. And these diseases and afflictions and this COVID situation will recede when God says, "Okay, it's time." And you wonder why it worked like that, and why did God turn to Noah out in the middle of this water and say, "I remember you"? Why did Christ turn to the thief on the cross next to him and say, "I will remember you"? And it comes down to one word: obedience. Pure obedience. Noah was obedient. He did what God told him to do. And God said, "I'm going to remember." And so for the next few weeks, we're going to go through this comeback series. We are going to talk about coming back in your personal life. It may not look the same. It might look different. But today we're going to talk about God is fully invested in your redemption. Next week, we'll talk about God is fully invested in your resurgence. And on May 3rd, God is fully invested in your reward. That's the next few weeks. Today, let's talk about God's invested in my redemption. What does that mean? We just came off the Easter season, and redemption should be fresh in our minds. We should understand what that means. We should say, hey, I know exactly what that means. That means I was delivered from where I was, and I was just rescued. If you've accepted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you've been delivered from a life of sin, and you've been rescued. You've been redeemed. There's redemption in your life. That's the redemption part. And God is fully invested in that redemption part. And you know he is, because we celebrated that fully invested God when Jesus, his son, gave up his life and rose on the third day for you and I to reconnect us to heaven. Separated from heaven because of sin, Jesus gave up his life. So I had a comeback. So you had a comeback, and he rescued us. He redeemed us. And that story and that power is going to carry us through from where we're at today and continue throughout the next weeks and months and years to come. And you and I are going to follow that comeback and live this redemptive story in our lives. And I'm going to take you to Psalm 51, verse 10, and it reads like this. Created me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit in me. This is the story of King David. And for those that know the story, sit back and give me a minute, because some may not, and I want to share with you this story. David is a shepherd boy growing up. He's the one that had the battle with Goliath. And that's a big story we know as we were growing up, and he defeated Goliath. David goes on to do other things, and he ends up being king of Israel. And one evening, he just was wrestled and just couldn't sleep, and he gets up, and he's looking out through the top of the palace, and he sees this lady. Her name is Bathsheba, and it says in the God's word, it says, you know, he thought she was quite beautiful. And the story goes that he summons for her. He's king, so he summons for her, and she comes up to the palace, to the room, and they have a relationship. That relationship ended in her being pregnant, and the problem with that is they weren't married. That wasn't David's wife, and he certainly wasn't her husband. And that sin created a situation. And the situation goes that he was concerned, and he knew he messed up, but he said, how do I fix this situation? We do that same thing. We get ourselves in these situations. And then we start trying to use our human experience to get us out. And that's what David did. So David starts coming and thinking, okay, what do I got to do? What can I come up with to get me out of this situation? So he starts to put together his plan. And that plan was, hey, let's get her husband and bring him into town. He's out in the battle. And so he comes around, and he wanted her, the husband, Uriah was his name, to go to the house and spend some time with Bathsheba. They hadn't seen each other, so he thought, hey, this is a good plan. Well, he comes back, and he doesn't go back to the house. He just stays away from the house. The next morning, David finds out that he didn't go back to his house, and there was no coming together between Uriah and his wife and Bathsheba. And now the plot thickens, and they didn't know what to do. And he's, why didn't you go? And I couldn't go, he says. I've got my brothers out in battle. They were at battle. I've got my brothers on the hillsides camped out. I can't go out there. I just don't feel right. I can't go back home. The plot thickens. David now is heading out to plan B and C. And the sin gets greater. So he takes Uriah. He sends him out into battle on the front line. And if you know the story, he's killed. The plot continues to thicken. See, the human experience, the natural gets involved and gets us worse off. And that's what I'm trying to get to in this story. So Psalm 51 is David's cry saying, God, I have really messed up. I've really messed up. And he writes Psalm 51. He says, Lord God, in verse 10, he says, just create me a pure heart as he repents of his sin. Lord, give me a pure heart. Other versions of the Bible talk about give me a clean heart or, Lord, a new heart. I need a new heart. I've messed up. Give me a new, pure heart. And then he goes on and says, and then after you give me this new heart, as I repent, do something else for me. Renew inside of me this steadfast spirit. Give me this new renewed spirit inside of me. He's crying out for a comeback. What's this pure heart mean? He asked for a pure heart. He asked to create this pure heart. What does that mean? That means I'm done with this sin. And for you and I today, I'll tell you this. When we start to come back into our lives that we were living before this situation, we need to make sure we do this one huge thing. We can't blame God for allowing the situation to show up. We can't come back from the situation and hold that God was punishing us or God was doing something that it's all his fault and all this situation worldwide is just the fault of God, and we hold God responsible and we blame him. You know, it's kind of like in the Old Testament, you know, the Old Testament prophets, they were always talking about restoring, and God used the prophets to restore God's people, give them hearts for God, and he enabled them and gave them obedience. You know, what did he give? He gave them a second chance. He gave them a comeback. And we can't blame God for this. If we want to come back from it, not only spiritually, but naturally, we can't hold on to this thing that says it's God's fault that all this happened and blame God. That wouldn't be a pure heart. That certainly wouldn't be a new heart. You know, Jeremiah 24, it reads like this. He speaks it in 24:7 like this. I will give them a heart to know me. God will give you a heart to know him. That I am the Lord, you are my people, and I will be your God, for they will return to me with all their heart. You know, as we come back from this situation, we've got to make sure that's us. A pure heart created in this situation. Create this new heart in me. I'm not blaming God for what happened. That's the first thing we got. Then we've got to move to this renewed, steadfast spirit. What does that mean? Well, what's the word? Renewed means a new commitment. It's a new commitment. And I'm kind of come out of this situation saying, God, I'm going to make an even new commitment to you. I'm going to say this in my personal life. I am going to commit to you whatever those things are for me personally. And I'm going to challenge you to do the same. I'm going to say, listen, you've got to have a renewed, steadfast spirit. You've got to make a commitment, a renewed commitment, like David did. He renewed his commitment. He said, God, give me a new, pure heart. Create that inside of me. But Lord, also give me this commitment, this renewed concentration on you. And the steadfast spirit, what is that? That is your faith firm and settled. We can't come out of a situation for a comeback and ask God to continue to rescue us with an impure heart, with no commitment, blaming God. Our faith needs to be steadfast, firm, and settled. I challenge each and every one of you to do exactly that. So we've got this new heart. We've got this situation where we're not blaming anybody. We're going to come back from this better than we ever have been. But we've got to do some other things. We settled our situation in our heart, but now we're going to renew this steadfast spirit, this settled, firm foundation of faith inside of us. And we need three things to have this firm, settled faith as we move into the reopened season for a comeback. We need three things. David had these three things, and here's what we need. You need fixed direction. You need to fix this direction in your life and say, that's where I'm headed. That's my direction. I am going there. And you need to have a firm purpose as to why you're going there. And then you need to have number three, it's got to be unwavering. You've got to pick this direction. And it's got to be a straight line. I'm going to come back, and this is what David did. And he says, there's where I've got to go, and I'm going to get there. And there's a purpose for me to go there. Why? I got to renew this steadfast spirit. I've got to get there, and it can't be any kind of wavering going on in my life. So your comeback needs to be a pure heart with a steadfast spirit. Pastor, what does that really mean? We need to be different when we come back than we were previously. See, I can't tell you what the reason is for everything that has happened, but I know that God has a reason for everything. I may not have the answer, but God's speaking to me, listen, you're going to be different on the comeback than you were going in. And that's kind of rattled me some. I'm like, wow. I've got to be different. Okay, God, I'll be different. Now, what does that mean? And let's go through those 3 points so we really have an understanding. Your comeback, redemption, your deliverance, your rescue, that's what it means, is contingent on you having a steadfast spirit that's fixed in a direction. Look at Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. It goes like this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't even lean on your own human understanding. That will fail you. In all your ways, all your fixed direction, you have to submit to him. And what will he do? He will make your fixed direction path straight. Now that's where we're at right now. We are in this situation where we have got to have this fixed direction. David's crying out saying, God, I've got to have this fixed direction. And I've got it, and here's where I'm headed. Psalm 37:23 reads like this, the Lord directs the steps of the godly. See, we come out of this situation, we're praying, and you know, it's kind of funny. Everybody has been praying for a comeback. Have you noticed? Everybody is praying for it. Everyone is begging for it. Everyone is asking for it. You don't have to be a believer to say, God, just let us come back. I want things the way they used to be. And I think God's saying as the believer comes back, things need to be a little bit different. I've got something new for you. I've got something fresh for you. I have a new beginning for you. I have a new assignment. David had a new assignment. He paid the price for the previous sin, but he had a new assignment. But he had a pure heart. And he had this renewed, steadfast spirit. And it was fixed and firm in a direction. This is where I'm going to go. And that's what you and I need to have. We've got to say, this is my heading. I'm charted here. And I'm going to go there. I'm challenging you not to come out of this situation and go back to who we used to be. I'm challenging you to do something bigger than that, a new beginning in something, whatever God is laying on your heart. Be fixed in direction when you're renewing your steadfast spirit or your firm, settled faith. Second point says your comeback redemption, your deliverance, your rescue is contingent on a steadfast spirit that is firm in a purpose. Okay, I know I'm going this way. What's the reason I'm going there? Whatever God lays on your heart, as you come back into society and you come back into your life, you come back, what is new things that you need to be praying for? What is the purpose God has brought you from where you're at to where you're going to be? The process of the comeback, what are you going to do? See, I believe that God's going to place in front of at least every believer, he's going to say, here's a new assignment. That's your purpose. Look what it says in Proverbs 19:21. It says, you can make many plans, but the Lord's purpose will prevail. What does that mean? That means I can make a lot of plans on the natural. And I say, when we get out of this situation, I'm going to do all these things. I've been hearing that all the time. Pastor, I'm going to do this and that, and I should have did this. And, you know, I'm going to tell you something. We can plan all that we want, but if that's not God's will for your life or mine, it ain't going to happen. Why? The scripture says his way is going to prevail. So I challenge you, as we come out of this and we are coming back, I would tell you, you've got to seek now a renewed, steadfast spirit with purpose. What is that? I don't think God's going to waste this. I don't think God is going to waste the opportunity to speak something new to you, speak a new beginning, something that he's been trying to get your attention on. Now he's got our attention. What is it? What's the renewed, steadfast spirit of purpose for me? I've got this direction I'm headed. Why am I going there? God's going to give you that. You need to listen to the will of God to be successful in your rescue of your comeback. You know, look what it says in Romans 8:28. It reads like this. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him and who have been called according to his purpose. You know, this is a situation that Paul, throughout his writings in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul, he talks a lot about a couple things. Here's the two big pieces. He talks about this battle, this human tension, and the spiritual tension between the human side, the natural, and the spiritual side, and how that just has a struggle going on between them. You know exactly what I'm talking about. The tension between the human experience and God's divine promise. There's a battle there. There's a battle, and that battle needs a renewed, steadfast spirit, firm and settled faith. As you come back out of this situation, your redemption needs to rise up with a new and pure heart and a renewed, steadfast spirit, because there's going to be the battle now between our human side and God's divine promise of what he wants to do for us, his will inside of us. And we're going to say, no, I would rather just go back to this situation here because I understand it. And God's going to say to each and every one of us, yeah, but I want us over here, a new fixed direction with a new renewed, steadfast spirit. I've got something better for you here. There's a purpose here for all of us. God is not going to waste this situation and this opportunity in your life. He's not going to waste that. You know, Paul continually assured believers that God was working for their ultimate good. He's always writing that God's got my back. He's got my best interest at hand. He's always looking out for me. And even when I'm in the midst of the battle, some of you struggle financially, struggling health-wise, or whatever the case may be, friends or family have suffered or maybe even tragically passed away on this situation that we are living, God still has your back. There's still hope. God is still in control. So we're fixed in direction for this renewed, steadfast spirit. There's purpose now being built around all of us as we head in this direction. There's another point that David brings up and talks about, and here it is. Your comeback redemption, your deliverance, your rescue is contingent on a steadfast spirit that's just unwavering. It's unwavering. What is that word unwavering even mean? It's faith that's firm, settled, but is reliable and unshakable. I've watched this reliable, unshakable faith the last many weeks in many people's lives. They were never fazed. To God be the glory, whatever His will is, they lived it. It's unshakable, it's unwavering, it's reliable. And I'm going to tell you, if that's not you or I during this time on the comeback, that's what we need to have. We need to be fixed in direction. We need to have this purpose that God's instilled in our lives, a new season, a new beginning. And then wrapped around it with unwavering, unshakable faith, I believe. Unshakable. James 1:6, he writes it like this: but when you ask, and be sure your faith is in God alone, don't waver. God, what is my purpose? Don't waver. God, what is my direction? Don't waver. And when God reveals that to you, say, that is it. I feel that in my heart, in my spirit. Don't waver. For a person with divided loyalty, what is that? Paul says, between the tension of your human side and God's divine promise on the spiritual side, there can't be a division. There can't be loyalty over here on the natural and serve God on this side and His promises. You've got to have loyalty somewhere. If you want to come back, if you want to be rescued, your loyalty has to be somewhere, and it can't be divided. The Bible says here, it says, it's that divided loyalty is unsettled as a wave of the sea that's blown and to and fro in the wind. You know, I've lived that life. Tossed about by the wind. I didn't know if I was coming or going. But the anchor in my life of Christ gives me fixed direction with purpose, and it's unshakable. It's unwavering. And you're sitting there right now with this opportunity, this monumental opportunity to come out of this situation different and better than you did going in. And God's got that plan for you. Pastor, how do I get this unshakable faith? How's that end up in me? Watch what happens here in the next couple minutes. As we move to James 1, 2 through 4, this is a scripture we've read many times before, and here it goes. You've got to consider the pure joy, my brothers and my sisters, whenever you face COVID-19 trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let that perseverance finish its work so you will be a mature person, complete, not lacking anything. That's the opportunity. So God's given us this opportunity that some will look at as not an opportunity to come back and do something bigger and better for God in your life. We'll have an unsettled heart. We won't have a pure heart. God is trying to create something inside of us, and we'll say, no, you're at fault for this. This is your fault. And you'll be stuck back in this situation dealing with that. And others, many, will come out and say, Pastor, I'm ready to be rescued. I'm ready for that comeback. I am going to be different today than I ever was. I'm going to be firm in my faith. I am going to have a direction with purpose and be unshakable. And I'm going to use this trial that God just took me through, because the Bible says that's what's going to mold me and take me through this trial, and I'm going to come out better than I ever was going in. Is that your cry today? Is that your heart today? I'm going to ask our music team to come back to the platform as we wind things up. And I just wonder, if that's where we're at today, God's got the greatest comeback in the history of your life waiting for each of us. And we have a decision to make, like David had a decision to make. Do I stay making this matter worse and worse and worse in my life and trying to fix it with human natural responses? this mess I got myself in. And I'm not saying we got ourselves into this mess. I'm just saying we're going to use it. God's going to use it for a great opportunity for us. And that's where I'm at today. God's going to do something because I'm going to allow God, because I'm going to have this new heart coming out of this, better than I had before. And I'm praying that God gives me more now than I have ever had. Let me read you a thought. It goes like this. God allows these trials. It's on the screen behind me. God will allow these trials to prove and increase the strength and quality of your faith. It even serves to validate our faith when we rely on Him during the trial. God sees that. How are you responding to being in the midst of the battle? What are you doing? Are you validating your faith? During our suffering, we can either respond in faith in God, or we can respond in human weakness, what Paul talked about, the battle, that tension between the two. We respond in this human weakness like David responded in human weakness. The story I told you, when you respond in human weakness, that's when temptation shows up. But the result of testing is perseverance, as we read in Scripture. The result is endurance and patience. It brings us to this spiritual maturity, a deeper walk with Christ, which makes us complete. You are faced with a great opportunity. What are you going to do? We're going to blame God. We're going to come back. He's rescued us. We're going to come back bigger and better than we ever were going in. You know, I've learned that God doesn't always deliver us from the storm, because the purpose of the storm is actually to deliver us. Just think of that for just a second as you're in your living room or wherever you're at. Think about what I just said. Here it is again. I have learned that God doesn't always deliver us from the storm, because the purpose of the storm is actually to deliver us. Sometimes we stay in the storm so long because we didn't create ourselves a new heart. We didn't get redeemed because we were blaming God. I'm telling you right now, don't blame God. Let's come out of the situation better than we ever did going in. Let's do something great for God. Let's do something that's renewing your spirit. Let's have fixed direction. Let's have this purpose wrapped around it, and let's just not be shaken. God is fully invested in your comeback redemption, your comeback deliverance. He's fully invested in your rescue. What are you going to do? We need pure hearts, steadfast spirits, fixed in direction, firm in purpose, just unwavering. And I challenge you to use this situation as we come back. We move into the new season of being restored. I challenge you to allow God to rescue you with something new, better than it's ever been before. Let's pray. Father, Lord, create in me, Lord God, a new heart. Create, Lord God, in me a renewed, steadfast spirit, Lord, that's fixed in this direction you want me to go, that's surrounded with godly, divine promise purpose. And Lord God, give me unshakable faith, unwavering faith to get there. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I pray that's the prayer of your heart today. I want to hear God's comeback story that He's birthing in your life today. I want to hear you tell me, this is what God's doing. Calvary Church, as you watch this, you've got to tell us, what is God doing for you today? Go to calvarylife.church. Go to the contact us and send us your story so we know how God is coming back in your life. Let's do this together. We love you. God's blessings with you. We will see you next week. God bless you all.